I just believe that we're on the precipice of another move of God. In fact, I think that we're in it. I don't know if many of you know what that whole movement of Let Us Worship and Sean Foyt. You know who I'm talking about? Anyway, he's gone around the country and he has worship events at different places. He had one in Snohomish County last weekend, but then he went to Portland after that. And I don't know if you saw on the news what happened in Portland. There was a group like on Saturday, and there was like 50 believers there, and there was a pastor, and they were just trying to worship. And Antifa came in, and they threw tear gas at them. They disrupted it. They pushed them out. They threw rocks. They threw all of these things at them and dispersed the worship in America, in Portland. And the police did nothing. They were there, but they did nothing. But then Sean came in the next day. He came in on Sunday. He was scheduled to come in. Well, they had about 3,000 or 4,000 people there that day. And here's what he did. He called the churches that were involved. He says, listen, I need security. He said, I don't want to hire a security team, but I want you to get your people together. And so there were ex-policemen, ex-military, they were there. They were security. And if Antifa tried to do anything, I don't think so. Not here. We're going to worship the Lord. You know, and I just thought, man, I'm going the next time there's one around here. I'm just going. Glory to God. Because, yeah, it's time for us to get up and worship God and just say, look at, enough is enough. We're not here to make a political statement or whatever, but we're going to worship Jesus where you're, you know, trying to tear things apart. We're going to see God do something awesome in our midst. Amen? Glory to God. Because we're not losing. Come on, we're not on the losing team. Come on, He made us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. If you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about a subject that is going to give all kinds of pictures to you, but I'm hoping to just give you another glimpse of it, or what I really think it is. And the subject that I'm going to talk about tonight is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Now, I've been around a little while, longer than I care to admit sometimes, but I've been around a little while. Now, watch this. So I've seen all kinds of spiritual warfare. And back in the 80s, they're guys who would come to town in fatigues. And they'd put on these spiritual warfare conferences. And they'd come against this spirit and that spirit and this spirit and that spirit. And where there's some validity to that a little bit, I don't think that's where the most spiritual warfare is. Right? So tonight I want to just take a little bit different look at it. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll go to very familiar verses. You guys could probably quote them before I start reading. But in verse 10 it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So whenever you see the word "finally" or "therefore" or whatever, you got to find out what's he talking about. And really what he's saying, everything that I've told you up to this point gets us to a place where now I can talk about this subject. Right? And we're going to go back into Ephesians a little bit tonight and look at what he said. Because he said that we're different than the world, right? We're redeemed by the power of His blood. Come on. We've been born again into His Spirit. Come on. We've been saved by grace. Come on. There's so many things that are in there that point to who we are. And he says, because of who we are, then we can go on to the next subject. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, Sometimes, again, we get this picture, man, I've been wrestling with the devil all night. Glory to God. I've just been wrestling and wrestling. And I get that to a point. I've had some confrontations in the spirit. But the reality is if I'm wrestling the devil, I've already lost in my power. Right? In my power. But I'm not in my power. I'm in His power. So when I get to the place where I'm in the Lord, I need to understand that I'm standing strong because I'm in Him. But I'm not just in Him. I have the ability to avail His power. Glory to God. I'm not standing in Bruce. I'm standing in Jesus. Right? I'm a child of the Most High God. And when I'm standing in His name. Glory to God. Look at verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Glory to God. That it doesn't say, you're going to wrestle with the devil and you might win and you might not. Right? It doesn't say, listen, the devil's coming at you. He's pretty strong. So, you know, you're just a baby Christian and you're kind of weak and you may not be able to overcome because he's pretty smart and he's pretty powerful. And see, the reality is, it's the body of Christ that is over Satan. And we together are part of that body. I've said this before, if I'm the callus on the big toe, he's still under my feet. Right? He's under my feet because I'm in him, right? But watch this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, we don't use that word very much. Wiles. Now, what does wiles mean? There's other translation that say schemes. But I want to put it in this perspective. It's a pattern of thought leading to an end. It's a pattern of thoughts leading to an end. So the enemy is trying to get to you, imposing his thoughts on you. Right? And so, in that in mind, let's go on to the next verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I want you to put that in the perspective of thoughts rather than out there somewhere. The spiritual warfare that you face most of the time is between your ears. Right? Because that's where the enemy knows if he can get you to think like he thinks, then he can win. But when you get to understand, and we'll look at this a little more, but when you get to understand what has God said, and you start putting that out in response to the thoughts that are coming to your head, then you're on the way to defeating him at every turn. Come on. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You're not my problem. I'm not your problem. Right? Now, I heard a pastor say this, and I thought it was so good. He was saying, you know, we have people that come in that have discerning of spirits. And I'm not going to mention the fellow. This was many, many years ago. But we had a fellow that had the discerning of spirits. He said, Pastor, I've got the discerning of spirits. I'll let you know what's going on. And he'd stand in the back. And when people come on, he would say, well, this person is operating in this, and this person is operating in that. And it was accusatory toward the brethren. Where's that coming from? It was the accuser trying to divide. It wasn't the Spirit of God trying to bring comfort. Now, can we get discerning of spirits? Absolutely. Can God show me a spirit on somebody? Yes, but not so that I can call them out to put them out. It's to call him out to put him out. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So what I'm talking about is that all of our spiritual warfare is not to divide us, it's to bring us together into unity in the Spirit of God. So whenever we're thinking that person over there is against me, or that person over there is my problem, we've just got into the wrong realm. Do you know we live in several different realms? We live here in physical earth right now, right? But I'm telling you, we also live in the spiritual realm. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We live in the spiritual realm. We can't always see it, but like right now, right here, I know there's angels in the room. Why do I know that? Have I ever seen them? No, I've never seen them. But I know that they follow me. And they follow you. Right? Because we're His kids. Right? So we live in a spiritual realm. But whenever we try to win the war in our minds, by our own minds and our own thoughts, we've already lost. We've got to wage it in the Spirit. In other words, we need to superimpose the spirit realm over the natural realm. So in other words, I'm looking at this thing and it looks like everybody's against me, but wait a minute. That's not true. That's not right. And so I know that my fight now is with what's between my head concerning my situation. And so I've got to come back to, wait a minute, I'm in a spiritual warfare here for who I am, spirit, soul, and body. And I'm going to win this, baby, because God is going to help me. Glory to God. Now look at this. I love this. Again, we're just back to verse 10 for just a second. Finally, be strong in the Lord. I love that. Be strong. You know what that means? It means to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You know what it takes to be strong? Exercise. Right? You got to get up and do something. You know, you're not going to get stronger by sitting. You've got to put action to what you're involved with in order for that to happen. It's like one pastor said. He said, you know, if you're out of fellowship with God, you know what you need to do? Yeah, I mean, if you've been born again, but you kind of walked away, here's what you need to do. You need to get back on your knees and talk to Jesus. And share your heart with Jesus. Right? So that's exercise. That's getting strong in the Lord. Is the things that we do in our quiet time before God individually that help us get to a place of strength. And if we look at the enemy, he's going to say, well, you know, I know your quiet time and your time with God is at 6 in the morning, but just sleep in. You can do that later. But you know what happens to later? It gets later. It gets later. And you know what you come... Now, I'm not going to get into this too deep, but what happens is you quit being a disciple and you fall back into just being a believer. You want to be free, you have to be a disciple. What Jesus said? He said this, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What I'm talking about in spiritual warfare is the knowledge of God coming against the knowledge of everything else. Right? But we are spiritual people who have the best teacher in the world. I'm not talking about me tonight, but if you want to on Facebook, that's fine. But no, just kidding. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And He wants to reveal to us what God thinks. Because if you want to fight the warfare, you've got to come against what anybody else thinks over what God thinks. You think that's important? Go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1. Mike's so patient with me, I give him these in order and then I change the order as we're going. But he's used to it. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at, we'll start in verse 16. Oh, 15, go back one more. Therefore also I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Hey, I heard you got saved. I heard you're saved. And I heard that you're trying to prove your love for God and to other people. That's awesome. That's great. But that's a point where I start to pray. The next verse, 16, it says this. It says, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, I'm praying for you. Now, I've got to say this. I've said this over and over again, but I don't mind repeating myself. Watch this. The gospel of, or the epistle of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. That was a physical place. It was a real church. But the Apostle Paul was anointed to write that. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to them, but he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit wrote this through Paul. And that's why we're reading it tonight in the canon of Scripture that we have. Is because it was inspired. So what I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul that there's areas that we need prayer for. And so this prayer is the desire of the Holy Spirit for you and for me. Again, remember, we got to finally in chapter 6. Well, this is one of the things that got us to finally. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? No, no, watch this. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. First of all, without a shadow of a doubt, it's God's will for you to have that. And what's He talking about? He wants you to know who God is, what He thinks, what He says, and how He acts. See, you can't get to the finally unless you know. God wants me to know Him. God wants me to know Him. But it's through that knowledge that I get stronger. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because you're getting to understand. Now watch, this is so cool. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. I love that. That means knowing what to do. And revelation, I like that. God wants to reveal Himself to me. How many would like just to have a little sit down with Jesus? Jesus, could you come and just sit in my room for a little bit? Well, my flesh would be kind of terrified, but my spirit would be jumping up and down for joy. Right? Anyway, let's go on to the next verse. Glory to God. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God wants you to know who you are, but not who you are in you. I'm not talking about, you know, it's not a, you know, you don't have to have a good self-image. What you have to have is a good Christ-centered image. This is who Jesus has made me to be. This is what was purchased for me on the cross. My knowledge of God is based on the fact that I am now in relationship with Him because of the blood. Because the blood was shed and the blood had this work that there was a transfer. He took my sins so I can have His righteousness. He took the fact that I was away from God when he said, I don't want to take this upon me, what he was saying, I'm going to be separated from God for the first time, from my Father, for the first time in eternity. I don't want that. But he became separated in the instant when he took sin so that I could be partakers of a relationship with him so that I'm now welcomed into his throne room. Glory to God. But you see, I have to know that in order to be strong, because the enemy is going to constantly tell you who he thinks you are. The enemy is going to constantly tell you about who you were. The enemy is going to constantly tell you that, yeah, you know, you're saved and you'll probably go to heaven, probably. But you'll be on the back row somewhere because, you know, don't pray for yourself. And by all means, don't pray for somebody else because you're not qualified. You need to go to the pastor. You need to go to, you know, this sister so-and-so. You need to see, he wants you to know who you are so that you can get to chapter 6 and come against those principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and any demon that is named, you have got power over him. But watch this. Your power isn't in the formula that you do. I've read the books, you know. I mean, I'm not going to name the books. But you do this, this, and this, and the demon will come out. And so you follow that. And all you are is seven sons of Sceva. Right? That's all you are. And the devil's going to whip you up, run you out of the house naked. Right? Because why? Why? Because look at it, it's symbolic. You are naked without the power of God. You're not clothed in the armor of God. And so therefore you don't have a right to stand up against him. But when you get to know who you are, then you can stand in the place and defeat him every time. But that comes out of a relationship that you have with him. Oh, glory to God. That the eyes of your understanding, I like that, being enlightened. Most of us in the room are old enough to remember the Ford commercial where there would be a light bulb that came on, right? Ford had a better idea and the light bulb would come on. I get that picture, I say, oh, wait a minute. That's how God thinks. That's what he said. That's who I am. How does this work when you're in the middle of spiritual warfare? You're seeking God, but God gives you a verse. And all of a sudden he goes, whoo, there it is. And that's for you. And you take that verse of Scripture and you come against the lies that you know are from the enemy that are trying to defeat you, that are trying to tell you that you're not all of that, and that are trying to keep you bound and taken away from the presence of God. And they're trying to pull you into depression. They're trying to pull you into all kinds of things. And you got to, wait a minute. God, if you ask him, will give you a verse. I've told this story before, but it fits here, so I'm going to tell it again. I'm not going to go into any of the details, but there was a time in our lives where the enemy tried to literally destroy us. And it was for the first time in my life ever I could identify with what the spirit of fear was. Because it was overwhelming. It was, you know, it would make you shake in your boots, all of those things. But God gave me a verse. It's found in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Behold, all things, those who are incensed against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. You'll look for them, but you'll not be able to find them. I didn't get it the first time. But then I went to this prayer meeting where a bunch of it was an intercessory prayer meeting in Tacoma. And the pastor said, listen, we're not going to go into details, but we need to pray for Bruce. And so they all came around, and I'll never forget it. The man's name was John. He came up to me. He says, God's given me a verse for you. Isaiah 41:10, I went, cha-ching. You see, I had warfare against the thoughts of fear that had the potential to destroy if I would have allowed it. So what I had to do is I had to take that word and I had to weaponize it. How do you weaponize the word? It talks about the whole armor of God, and we go through the... Again, man, I've seen some silly things with the armor of God. But watch this. How do we take it on? We take it on by putting the word of God in our hearts, coming out of our mouths. So watch this. This was the spiritual warfare. Fear would try to come. The enemy would tell me what I was going to lose. The enemy would tell me what I was over. It was done. It was complete. You're never going to... Blah, 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 you know, all of that, spewing out as much garbage as he could because he was fighting to destroy me. So I had to go around. Fear not, for I am with thee. And I had to imagine God standing by next to me in the midst of it. If I was facing or had to do something, God was there in the midst of me. I had to see it because I was in a war. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're not necessarily going out there. And I got to say this right. Well, listen, over this area is the spirit of such and such. And I know that there's some of those things that are true. And I'm not diminishing that. But the number one area that we've got to look at is what's between your head, your two ears. The thoughts that are coming to you, you have to dismiss them with the Word of God. And then, watch this, you have to become humble before God and say, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Because sometimes the things we blame on the enemy are nothing more than decisions that we made that we're eating the fruit of it. So what do? We pull the truth out of the Word of God. We get our lives in line with the Word of God. No matter how bad it feels, no matter what other people are saying, this is what the Word says, so that's what I'm going to live by. Right? And in doing that, we set ourselves in a position where truth will set us free. We'll win the fight. Our fight is in the Spirit, where Jesus has already defeated the enemy. You know, it's easier to fight a war that you know you've already won. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to give you an example, but it just pales in comparison. So it's not really a great example. But do you remember when we first went into the Gulf War and Saddam Hussein was there and he was bolstering about how he was going to come, you know, he was just going to take all of America out and he was going to just win. And we build up and all this build up and all this build up. And finally we went in and we just marched right through the place. Why? Because our firepower and our military might was so much stronger than they had, right? It's like machine guns against pea shooters. Some are old enough to know what a pea shooter is, but here the reality is that when you understand the weapons that you have, the enemy is only going to try to bluff you with the power that he has, and he does have power. But he'll bluff you with it when the reality is it doesn't hold a candle to God's power. Come on, it doesn't hold a It doesn't hold a candle to God's power. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. I can't do it. Go to verse 11. We're going to read through this. I was going to try to get this quicker, but again, forgive me, Mike. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by the putting off of the body of sins in the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. What does that mean? The minute that you got born again, you were marked. Now, everybody in here knows what circumcision is. What circumcision was a sign of the covenant. And I don't know how they, located all that, but if you ever saw somebody that was circumcised, you know he belongs to the Jews, right? He's in covenant with God, with the Jews. Well, we've been circumcised in our hearts with the covenant that Jesus performed with God that we entered into when we said, yes, Jesus, right? We've been circumcised. We've been set apart. We are different. We are marked. Come on. With the favor of God, with the love of God, with the grace of God, with the mercy of God, we're marked. And we're buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Glory to God. I love the cross, but don't stay at the cross. Right? I love the cross, and sometimes I got to go back there, and I got to say, Lord, I'm just putting this sin at the cross. But after I've repented, I'm going to come back through the grave and be raised from the dead and be standing in my righteousness that He gave to me when Jesus was risen from the dead. You know what was accomplished when He was raised from the dead? It showed to the world, it showed to the devil, it showed to everybody that He paid the price. The price was accepted, and it's a done deal. The enemy knows you're more saved than you know. But what's he going to do? He's going to take his wiles, put the thoughts into you of who you were before, what you can't do, what you can't have, and keep you defeated by your own mistakes. How many have made a mistake since you've been saved? The rest of you come up afterwards, we'll have a repentance service. Right? Look, we've all made mistakes. How long does it take for you to be forgiven of your mistakes? That's right, bud, just like that. Just like that. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the enemy is going to get us. Yeah, you said you were sorry, but I got to remind you how bad that was. And God, yeah, God loves you, but He doesn't love you as much as this person. Because obviously that person is better than you. I've said it this way, and I think it's so good. When we start comparing ourselves one to another and we go to somebody and we look down on them because of whatever sin they're in, what we're really saying is, I'm a better sinner than you are. Because my sin is not as bad as yours. Sin is sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and the only way to get back in the glory is through the relationship with Jesus Christ. But that has been accomplished. Come on. You have to know that because you can't stand against the enemy if he can keep you bound by the past or your mistakes. Glory to God. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all of your trespasses. Now we read through that, but I want you to just grab a hold of it for a minute. I've been made alive together with Him. How many think Jesus is up there going, I could have done this better. I should have done that better. Maybe if I would have talked to Judas just a little bit better, he would have never. No, he's not doing that. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, which in Ephesians, again, it said that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Did you know that? Right? That's where we are. So watch, I'm together with Him. In other words, This is so good. I have become a co-partner with Him. In other words, if He's alive, I'm alive. If he's righteous, I'm righteous. If he's holy, I'm holy. If he's forgiven, I'm forgiven. Not that he need to be forgiven, but you understand what I'm saying. I walk in the same place. As much as God loved Jesus, he loves me. He loves you. Why? Because we're not standing on our actions. We're not standing on what we did or didn't do. We're only standing on our faith in the blood. Right? The blood of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Woo! Glory to God. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way and nailing it to the cross. So when the enemy comes to accuse you, take him to the cross and show him where that has been erased, expunged, it no longer belongs to me. And how does he do it? He doesn't come to you and say, oh, look, you know, your sins, God is not going to forgive you of your sins. What he's going to say to you is that, you know, if only you would have prayed more. If only you would have done this more. If only you wouldn't have done that. Then your life would be so much better off. You'd be so much better for the kingdom of God. But now that you've done all that, just sit down. Take a seat in the back. And God can't use you anymore. I'm telling you, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's one of his schemes. That's one of his thoughts. And you have to say, no, listen, Mr. Devil. I've asked for forgiveness. I'm cleansed. I have his backing. And everything that I've ever done is written on that cross. And so therefore, I'm going to walk in the newness of life. Verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and power, he made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He made a spectacle of the enemy where you're concerned. And if you're in him, then you can make a spectacle of him by enforcing what Jesus did and what he said. Come on. He's under my feet. Come on. He's under my feet. So listen, I can't pray for somebody to be delivered if I don't believe that I've really been delivered. I can't tell somebody that God loves them if I'm not really sure that he loves me. I can't really say he'll forgive you of anything if I don't believe that I've been forgiven of everything. I'll be like the person that goes up to the attic and says, well, you know, my work and my not. Give it a try. I've got to believe that the God of the created everything has the power to deliver anybody who will turn to him, and he can deliver him out of the grips of the shackles that the enemy's put on him, whatever term that is, whatever addiction you want to call it, whatever past struggles, whatever broken heart, whatever bondage that he's been in, that he can deliver him because he's already defeated him. Glory to God. He didn't just defeat him. This is a military picture that Paul's painting here. When one king went into, and the kingdoms were really cities or maybe a little larger territories, but if you went in and you conquered that, what they did is they got the king. And oftentimes they chained him up. This is a little gross, but sometimes they'd pull their eyes out, do different things, and they'd walk them all the way through in their shame through the city. And why did they do that? So every person that lived in that city said, he's not in charge anymore. The devil's not in charge of you anymore. The devil is not in charge of you anymore. He's not, but he's a liar. And he's going to try to lie to you and tell you who you are based on what He paints the picture of, but God wants you to get a spirit of revelation and the knowledge of who He's made you to be so that you will not succumb to that bondage anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go back to chapter 1 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. I'm trying to paint inside of you a picture that you today and tomorrow you can go back into the spiritual warfare of the thoughts that are bombarding you, and you can come at them with something tangible that you can use against those thoughts. Look, if you don't do something with your thoughts will continue to spin. And the enemy is not satisfied with getting you just low. He wants to get you lower. And then he wants to get you lower. And then he wants to get you lower. I've been risen with Christ. I'm not going any lower. I'm on my way up. I'm not on my way down. Glory to God. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know what this is saying? I'm a partaker of the inheritance. I'm a partaker. I am a partaker of the inheritance. You understand? I'm a co-heir with Jesus. That means whatever He inherited, I've inherited. He's even given me power of attorney to use His name. I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. You say, well, you know, I can't do anything anymore. If I'd only known this when I was 20, I was 30, I was 40, I was 50, I'll stop there. But if I only knew it then I could. Listen, as long as you're alive on the earth, God's got a mission for you to come against the enemy of our souls and for the souls of those who don't know Him yet. Right? As long as we have air coming out of our nostrils and coming out of our belly, the Spirit of God can use us to fight the enemy. Come on. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. I'm qualified. I'm qualified. If I went into the resume or the fight that I'm about to get in with the devil, I say, listen, I'm qualified. Here's my qualification right here. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's been applied. It belongs to me. Whew. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not He's going to. Not He might. He has. I'm not fighting from a position of whether or not I'm going to win. Because I'm in Him. I've already won. So the enemy lies to you. I'm going to take you down. You're going to lose everything. You know, you might get to heaven, but I'm not sure about that. You know what you did. You know what happened. You know what you did. Listen, get out of that mindset. Come at the enemy and say, look, I might have made all the mistakes you're talking about, but my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. What does that mean? He bought me back. He paid the price so that I could be used again. Oh, glory to God. I'm no longer of the cursed. I'm now of the blessed. Delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God. Well, God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominion, principalities, powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. I got a clue for you. You're in Him. Let me say that again. You're in Him. You're in Him. You're in Him. You're in Him. So when you pray, you're praying in Him. When you're coming at the enemy in a spiritual warfare, coming against those thoughts, you're not coming by your own strength. And boy, if I could just faith it out enough, if I can just do enough, if I can just... You'll lose every time. But when you can get to the point where you say, listen, it's not my strength. It's not my power. It's because I'm in Him. Come on, the enemy's trying to lie to us. He's trying to take us out. He's trying to unseat us so that we can't do the good that God wants us to do. Who do you think you are? Well, you got a minute? Let me tell you, right? Who in the world do you think you are? Let me take you over here to Ephesians, and let me take you to Colossians. Let me take you to Philippians. Let me take you to all these places, and let the Word of God dwell in us richly, so that we can encourage and admonish one another. What about, well, I'm going to admonish you that you got the spirit of this and the spirit of that and the spirit of... No, I want to admonish you that you have the Spirit of God and that Satan has no power over you, that the one who's trying to defeat you is a liar and that God is bigger than anything that he's bringing against you. Come on. Glory to God. I'm not fighting from a position of defeat. I'm fighting from the position of victory in Jesus' name. But the enemy, here's what the enemy does. You know what he's going to do? He's going to bring people against you. And the enemy uses your past to filter what you think people think about you. And it's a lie. Listen, this is a big revelation. But most people aren't thinking anything about you. Because they're too busy thinking about themselves. Right? Well, what do they think about me? Not much. But in our fighting our spiritual warfare, it's always for the unity of the body and the believing the best and walking in love toward people and knowing that God is in the reconciling position and we are the ambassadors. We have ministries of reconciliation. God wants to use us, but what's the enemy going to do? He's going to get us to pit against each other so that we can't be used by God to fulfill His purpose for us on the earth. Glory to God. We must bring the Spirit into our natural fight. So when the enemy's tormenting you or the enemy's coming against you or even if people are talking about you, if you try to fight that in the natural, you're going to lose every time. But if you put yourself in the position in the Spirit, then you can start by your faith pinging off the arrows. You wouldn't need a shield of faith if the arrows weren't coming. Right? You wouldn't need a sword if you didn't need to fight. But go back and read that. Begin to understand that all of those weapons are talking about the Word of God planted in you. Finally, everything that's been spoken about in Ephesians, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then fight from a position of strength of who you are in Him, not from a position of who you are in you. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we won't turn there. But it talks about that we've got to take... The strongholds that he's talking about are not, you know, the spirit over Port Orchard. He's talking about the stronghold in your mind that's coming against what God has said about you and to you. And what's he say? He says, take every thought. Take every thought. Every thought. Now, you women, I'm sorry, but you're at a disadvantage. Because you have about 1,000 more thoughts than we men do. Right? Yeah, per minute, yeah. Right? Men aren't deep. We really aren't. I was thinking about this. Well, how do you feel about that? We're going to give you an intellectual exercise. Well, when you ask a lady how they're feeling, all their emotions are tied to what they're going to respond. We need each other. I said we need each other, for sure. But our fight is with the thoughts in our head. But we have to conquer those thoughts with the Word of God. But not just by reading the Word of God, not just by listening to a sermon, but taking the tools and putting them in our mouth and begin to conquer those thoughts. Begin to say, no. I mean, if you're alone, say it right out loud. No. Shut up. What did Jesus do? The devil said this. They said, it is written. Be like Jesus. Right? Let's be like Jesus. Let's start it is written-ing the devil. Did you get anything tonight? Come on, did you get it? Are you going to do anything about it? Right? Come on, it's time to do something about it. We're going to pray for one another in just a minute. Because God's going to break some things off of some people. I just have that in my spirit tonight. But let's just pray and we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your spirit tonight. I thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts tonight. And Lord, if there's anybody that's here that's out of fellowship with you, Lord, help them to just come back to you. All you have to do is get on your knees and say, Jesus, I'm back. I want to express my heart. I love you. I want to come back. Show me. Teach me. And he'll do it. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have to commit yourself to him. You have to say, I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I come with a repentant heart and I ask Jesus to become Lord of my life. The Bible says if you'll confess him as Lord of your life, you'll believe it in your heart and say with your mouth, it says that you'll be saved. So do that tonight. And then tell somebody about it. Thank you for viewing tonight. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.